That's Sif Chaf Aleph. Sif Chaf Beis, Kolakelim, Afilu, Kolakelim, Afilu Shal Cheresh, and Shtam Shem Chomitz Betzonin, Mutl, Shtam Shem Matzah, Afilu Bechamin. This is a machlokus, what the right Gersa is in the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Lamed Zayin. There's the Gersa of the Rif against the Gersa of the Rush. We paskin here, like the Gersa of the of the Rush, who says any kalim, even of cheres, that you only use for cold matzah, for cold chametz stick, you're allowed to use for Pesach because they were never boleya, afil b'cham, and even in hot. Okay, that's fairly straightforward. We assume basically the machloksin, the Gersa of the Rif and the Gersa of the Rush, is that the Rif assumed that even cold chametz made a bleya. And he was talking about literally chametz, and he somehow assumed that leaven, even if it's not the kneading bowl, any leaven thing has a power to make a bliya in cold cheres. Right? So how about blios from cold chametz? So here's the Rush and the Machaber, the way we paskin is, there's no blios, the kli is totally mutter. That's what he said. You can use it even for hot chametz. The Rif had a funny bliya. What was the Rif's bliya? What was the Rif's girsa? The Rif's girsa was, if you used it for cold chametz, you could only use it for cold matzah. Well, so the Rif assumed, no, that somehow cold chametz, because it has fermenting in it, although it's very hard to imagine, like a loaf of bread doesn't look like it's fermenting to me. This is a big finish of the riff. Causes, or is nivla into at least a kli cheres. And therefore, you can use the kli cheres for cold on Pesach, but not hot. That's a big chumra, which is a little hard to understand where it's coming from. Lamaisa, we reject the Rif's girsa. We say like the Rush's girsa. And therefore we said, any kalim that were used cold all year long are perfectly Pesachic, not a problem at all, except for the ones that have very serious fermentation going on there, which are Beit Sa'or, Beit Haroset, the place where you keep your leaven. Remember we discussed that. That's serious fermentation power. And the place you keep your Haroset. Okay, I don't mean to be one of these annoying, historically aware types who question our modern-day recipes and whether they really correspond to what Chazal meant, but it seems pretty clear that haroset was not supposed to be sweet. Every place I've went, they have sweet haroset. Haroset here seems to be some sharp, pungent chametz stick mixed, apparently. Obviously not for the Seder, but all year long they would put breadcrumbs in their haroset, and it was very sharp, and therefore it caused the bliya even in cold. So this Beit Sa'or and Beit Haroset would have a bliya even in cold. Sha'afal pi shel neshtamshem chametz el betzonein, even though you only use them cold, asher neshtamshem matzah bechamin, you can't use them for hot matzah. So here, if we're talking about cold chametz in a Beit Sa'or and a Beit Haroset, and if you remember earlier, we saw extensions of this, right? It's not an order of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Beit Sa'or and Beit Haroset, they really have a bliya, serious bliya. And then they say, and the kneading troughs that you use all the time are also like that. And then the Shulchan Aruch already told us about the kneading troughs, and now gets to discussing the Beit Sa'or and the Beit Haroset, so we say there is a bliya, and therefore what? Therefore, it's one step more machmir, right? So according to the Rush, it's mutter for cold on Pesach, but aser for hot on Pesach, right? It has to be more machmir. According to the Rif, therefore, it would have to be more machmir than regular kalim. Aser legamrei on Pesach, even to use for cold. Okay, why? Probably,
we'll see, to pass either just as a gzeira, cold or too hot, or maybe because he's talking about cold actual matzah, and somehow there'll be yeast spores left in there, which will go into the matzah and make them rise. So let's see what we paskin. We paskin.
Let's have green sock. So far,
that the Beit Zor and the Beit Charoset do cause a blia, and therefore also l'sham shematzah b'cham. But sonen aneich b'matzah fuyamotar v'al aser lalush b'hem. So we say we have a little bit of a compromise with the riff. You can use them aser for hot on Pesach mutar for cold, but aser for cold matzah dough. Means to need cold matzah dough. Again, we buy our matzah from factories, not halacha l'maisa. Why? The svara is, even though it's much of a cold, because the bliya won't come out into cold food, but there's still a lot of yeast spores left. And even though the tam won't come out into cold food, still the power of this yeast might cause the matzah to rise in less than 18 minutes, and therefore we would not need matzah on it. That's the compromise of the mechaber. This is only if you don't do Hagalah. That's if you don't do Hagalah. But if you do Hagalah, then even a Beit Zor and a Charoset are mutter, as long as they're not made of Cheres, because Cheres you can't do Hagalah, but other things you can do Hagalah. Here there's a bit of a machlokes. If you recall earlier, the Ramah was machmir that you need Liban for Meducha, right? That was the sort of Rishonin's extension. The Gemara had originally Beit Zor and Beit Charoset. The Gemara extended to the arevos, the kneading bowls, and the Rishonim extended it to the mortar and pestle. So by the mortar, the Ramah said we're machmer like Rashi says you need libun. How come the Ramah here didn't say anything about libun? So the Achronim say the Ramah also admits that lechachilu need libun here. He just meant that if you can't do libun, then b'shas adchak it would be mutter. It would be mutter through Hagalah, and the Mishnah Berurah adds, put in the Magen Avraham. In any case, the Ramah says, our minhag is it's too hard to clean these kelim, which were used for chametz, like used for kneading. So the Beit Zor and the Beit Charoset, which were used for this very powerful stuff, it's too hard to clean anyway, so we Ashkenazim would not clean it. So Lamaisa, we Ashkenazim have two more chumers about the Beit Zor and Beit Charoset. Number one, you need Liban if possible. And number two, we really don't use them at all because they're too hard to clean. Okay, continuing. What about cheres? Lo mahani agala. You can't do agala for cheres. Here, there are two gersos in the there are two gersos in the mechaber. There's the gersa of lo yishtamish v'matza afilu b'tzonein, or lo yishtamish v'matza ela b'tzonein. So lemaisa, here we have a Beit Zor and Beit Charoset of Cheres. What are the two gersos? One gersa is gersa Aleph is Lo Yishtamish Bahem Matzah Elo Bitzomim. That is exactly, you can only use it for cold because the bliya won't come out. You can't use it for hot. The second girsa, right? Mishnah Berurah tells us who has all those girsas. He gives us a nice summary. He says one girsa is the bach and the prichadash. But some people, he has like the gra, say lo yishtamish bahem matzah af. And this is based on the riff, because the riff is talking specifically about cheres. The riff's yursa had cheres. And therefore, this is a little funny, according to that second yursa, all of a sudden the mechaber is being machmer like the riff for a kli cheres, even though he wasn't machmer like the riff for a kli cheres in the reisha. The reisha he passed like the rush against the riff. So therefore, this gersa makes more sense. He's still like the rush against the riff. He just had a chumra about kneading the dough. This seifa is a little bit of a funny gersa. Why he would all of a sudden be machmir for half of the riff without the other half of the riff? I mean, it's possible. We're not going to answer it now. L'maisa, there's two gersos. What's the halacha l'maisa? The halacha l'maisa is none of this has a nafkamina whatsoever. Why does none of this have a nafkamina whatsoever? Because the Rif quotes a minhag. Let's read the minhag at the end of Chaf Beis and see why none of this has a nafkamina. V'ha'inna nagwa alma do l'shami pescha b'mani de pachra atiki. Pachra is cheres. Atiki, of course, is old. Perish kli cheres yishanim, fine. Right. Nowadays, the minhag is we don't use used kli cheres on Pesach no matter what. We just have a minhag of a low plug. So the minhag nowadays, if we use kli cheres, no matter what it was used for, cold, hot, beit zaor, this, that, no matter what you think you might do with it, you just don't use it on Pesach. Okay, end of story. V'taner shel beit hachoref, dinu kli cheres, v'asu losum dover ma'al taner v'pesach. This sort of, this taner they had in the winter room, meaning the room that was very high, they have well insulated, kept hot during the winter. This oven, they would put food on it a lot, it would spill on it a lot, etc. So, and it's made of, it's made of things that are the equivalent of cheres, and therefore, he says you can't kosher it, and therefore you can't put food on it on Pesach. Rather, what they would do is they would put like, they would cover, like covering the counters, they would put a board on it, and then put food on top of it. He points out that in this Taner Shel Beis HaChoref, really, there are two places to put food. You could put food on the inside or on top. On the inside is no problem. You could kasher it, because it's Hesek Bifnem. The fire's on the inside. It's the top that can't be kashered, because the fires, right, basically, when I put fire here, this area gets kashered, because that's where the fire is. But this side doesn't get kashered. Why? Because the fire's on the wrong side. It's like the fire's on the outside of the top key. Remember the fire should be on the inside, not the outside? The fire's on the inside if you want to cook on the inside. You've kashered the inside, but you haven't kashered the top, because the fire is technically the inside, is outside if you're on top. Right? It's the outside where your food is. And therefore, he says they would put a board there and then put their food on that board. And they would solve it. Likewise, sometimes they have compartments in here, and then the fire was not inside the compartment. It was outside the compartment. So that compartment also couldn't be kashered, and you'd have to make a box inside it on Pesach. What? The Rif. This minhag of not using kli at all is a Rif. I think it's the Rif is the first to say this minhag. You know, at least, you know, the first among the famous Yeshiva Shemakoros. Chaf Gimel. Kli cheres hametzupin v'hitoch zechuches dinam ki kli cheres. Whoa, this is very nogea nowadays. Glazed pottery. That's all our dishes. That's all our china. Fine china, weekday china. All the dishes we eat on are glazed cheres. Maybe it's mutter because they're glass. Remember, Sephardim hold glass in Apuleia. Nope, they count as kli cheres. Even a Sephardim who holds glass in Apuleia admits that china is bolea. Why is china bolea after all? It is glazed. So first of all, it's a Gemara. The Gemara talks about clay kunya. Kunya are glazed cheres. And the Gemara says it's a problem. So it's a Gemara. The Gemara says clay kunya is asr. Right? Kunya, which probably equals glazed, is asr. But why is it asr? Why don't we say the glass is not bolea? So there are two explanations quoted in the Bir Halacha here, one quoted by most of the Makoros, right? Glazed china equals kli cheres. Why? So one answer is the Rush. The Rush says that that kevan shazechuches nitzraf im hacheres. Betanur nasa kecheres. Since the glass is forged with the cheres in the tanner, it becomes like part of the cheres. Again, I'm not sure what the chemistry behind it is. I'm not a material scientist. But he says, basically, you can't call it glass anymore. Once the glass is nitzraf, meaning forged, with the cheres, it becomes like kli cheres. But, and this rush is quoted by all the poskim. The Bir Halacha quotes Tosfos, who says something different. He says that really the zechuches
counts as glass. Really, this glue counts as glass, so what's the problem? But it is so thin that bleos go through it to the cheres. It's not that the glass turns into cheres, because it becomes part of the cheres. It's that the glass is so thin it can't block anything. And therefore, it doesn't block the bleos, the bleos go into the cheres, and cheres can't be kashered. Okay, so there are two explanations, but the halacha is pretty straightforward. The halacha is that the bleos go through the glass into the cheres. Now, just to be fair, Rabbi Abadi, who's famous in wider circles now, does write, I read it myself, that nowadays our dishes are not bolea because we only put hot food on our dishes, tata gavra, it's only bleak de klipa, and since the klipa is glass, it's not bolea. Okay, sounds like a nice svara. However, that is not the accepted orthodox halacha, because one of these two svaras is correct. Either since it's forged together, the glass counts like cheres, or a thin layer of glass lets the blia through, and therefore, and the mainstream svara is the rush, that it counts as cheres because it was forged with the cheres, and therefore we assume that nowadays our glass plates, either because the glass is forged with cheres and takes on the properties of cheres, or because the glass is too thin to do anything, there's a Rav Moshe like that, he writes someplace, don't say our dishes are okay because they're glazed because it's too thin, so that seems to be like Tosfos. We assume, not like Rav Avadi, and mainstream Orthodox halacha is that china can become treif or chametz stick and cannot be kashered, like a klisaris.
Is he arguing on Rishonim, or he reads it into these?
I don't know. He obviously must have some svara where he says the machaber was only talking about things that you put in a klivisho. But the machaber would have admitted that it was mutter if it was only things you put hot food onto, you know, through iri, like our plates. But I just don't know what the svara is. If the rush says that it counts like cheres, then it should count like cheres no matter what. So I don't know. I have to ask him. He doesn't write. Like, I've seen it inside, but it's in some quick tshuvas where he doesn't go into the logic. Okay, so we'll leave that tzarchion, but basically we cannot rely on that. So adds the Ramah here. V'yesh mikomos shenagush l'loshamsk l'cheres glazert afilu chadoshem ve'in l'hachrak mokom minhag. Some people have the minhag that they don't use glazed china on Pesach, even if they're new. But you don't do yachr unless you're in a mukum with that minhag. Our mukum doesn't have that minhag. So we do use new china on Pesach. You can go to the store, buy new dishes, and use them for Pesach, obviously. But why did some places have that minhag? So there were two explanations. the Magen Avraham brings down two explanations for the minhag, even though we don't have that minhag. One is that the glaze uses suvin, what we call bran, I think. I'm not sure why they use bran, but the glaze uses bran. They use bran in the glaze, and therefore they actually put chametz into it. And obviously the assumption is they don't like all burn it up or something, like it still is edible, which is, you know, I'm not sure how that works. And the second explanation is that maybe it is used and they glazed it to pretend that it's new. After all, something's used, you can tell, but you put a nice glazing on it, you reglaze it. So therefore, either we're choshesh the glazing has bran in it, or we're choshesh that they glazed it in order to cover up the fact that it was used, and obviously used kli is a problem. So some places have that minhag. We, in our countries, we do not have that minhag. Sifchav Dalid. There's one other interesting discussion. What about metal glazed kalim? Nowadays, we don't have metal glazed kalim very much, especially since the metal they usually used was lead, and we've discovered that even lead glazed kalim causes brain damage in children. But if you would have metal glazed kalim, this is a big machlokes because Rashi says kunya means metal glaze.
So that's obviously usher. But all the Rishonim said kunya means glass. And what about metal? So maybe metal glaze is okay, because maybe metal is better. That doesn't become like cheres. Metal is very different than cheres. So lemaisa, it's a big machlokas. Halacha lemaisa, mishmur is machmer on metal glazed also, but it doesn't come up. Chav dalet, kli etam supim samanim shenikrin barnis, dinam kli cheres. I wish I knew what these samanim that are called barnis are. But these wooden kalim that are painted with a paint that's called barnis counts as kli cheres, it can't be kashered. Okay, here we're not sure what's so bad about. None of the Rishonim say it's, I mean, they all knew what barnis was. So maybe if someone can figure out what barnis is, just do some work on the internet. It's old dictionaries. But what's so bad about kelim painted with barnis? Does this mean any kli with any painted kli can't be kashered? That doesn't seem to be our minhag. Our minhag is that we can kasher things even if they're painted or coated in some way. So what's shot in this? It's a little mysterious because I haven't been able to figure out what barnis is. You know, I couldn't find a dictionary that would tell me. Lemaisa, I've seen two explanations. One is in the Hagalos Kalim book. The Hagalos Kalim book says, you know what the Shulchan Aruch means? He means if it was used and then painted. Now it makes sense. That's like a patch, right? If you use it first and patch it second, it's a problem. It means the Shulchan Aruch was only matter if it was a used kli and then they painted it to make it look nice. You know, refurbished, they call it nowadays, right? In electronics. So refurbished kli. So then it's asur because since there's a blia under the paint, the Hagalah won't be able to get it out, just like if you used it and then patched it. But in which case, our kelim, which they paint in the factory, is not a problem. The Darke Tshuva in Simen Kof Kof Aleph of Yoredeya seems to imply that maybe this is a very thick kind of paint. This very thick kind of paint was very absorbent and hard to kasher like cheres. But our thin paints, which are really just like get absorbed into the wood, would not be a problem. So lemaisa, either this is only talking about if you used it and then painted it, unlike our kalim, or this is talking about a very thick layer of paint, not regular coloring, not like our kalim, but our wooden kalim, even if they have a color, we would still be allowed to kasher them. The Rama adds, v'yesh machmirim chelo l'sham v'kelim tzvun afilim chadoshim. Some places are machmer that they don't use painted kalim even if they're new. They don't use tin glazed kalim even if they're new. And you only have to be machmer if you're in those places. Why do those places have the minhag? The same two opinions. Either because they were afraid that they might use bran in the glazing, or because they're afraid it might be a used kli that they just wanted to pass off as new, and that's why they cheated by glazing it or painting it. Lemaisa and Armikomos, we don't have this minute. Chafei, kaklia shtia ben slokius ben kosos mutarim b'shtifa ben shem shel zuchuches ben shem shel eitz. All drinking kalim are mutter with just rinsing in cold water, whether pitchers or cups, whether they're made of glass or wood, ben shem atesu no cheres, or metal or cheres, meaning anything. Ah, the athlete shall find a noslim and lechem chan. Don't you sometimes, I don't, but I guess in the old days, dip hot bread in your wine cup? Since you usually only use them for cold, it's enough to rinse them. Because we know Sfardim follow Rov Tashmisho. You usually use it for cold, rinse it with cold, no problem. However, we Ashkenazim, we know our koshish for miyot tashmisho. This is just sifav. It's just a repeat of sifav. Ashkenazim are machmir for even the unusual way it was used. And therefore, we require hagala, says the Mishnah Brewer here in Sifkat and Kuf Nun, and quoting some of the later Achronim, that in this case, you can be makel to use milu v'iroi, soaking it for 3 days. Why? Because maybe Rov Tashmisho is good enough, and even if you need Hagalah, maybe soaking for 3 days is as powerful as Hagalah. We don't really pass that way. We really pass in soaking for 3 days is a lower level than Hagalah. But since there are Shitas that it's equal to Hagalah, so you're mitzarif, Rov Tashmisho and a Shita that Milo V'Iwer 3 days is equivalent to Hagalah, and you can be Mekel. Lemaisa, nowadays our cups we wash in the sink with chametz all the time, so therefore that's the Rov Tashmisho. Every time we drink, we wash it in the sink. So therefore, our kiddush cups, for example, would need Hagala, would need kashering through Hagala, at least through Iroi Kli Rishon, because our Metzias is different than their days. They didn't wash their cups in hot water. We washed our cups in hot water. So therefore, being Sfarad and being Ashkenazim, we'd have to be Mahir to kasher it with hot water, at least by pouring hot water on it, if it's not convenient for us to put in a Kli Rishon. Chafav. Klei Zechuchis. Afilo Mechnisan Lekiyom. Glass kelim, even if you leave things in there for a long time, meaning kavush, and even if you use them hot, ain't tzarich shum hechsher, they don't need to be kashered at all. She'einam bolin v'shtifa yamasaglu, because glass is not boleya and a mere shtifa is enough. This is a big chiddush. There are things that aren't boleya at all. Where do you get the idea that glass isn't boleya at all? So there are two makoros for this in Chazal. Number one, there's a Gemara in Chulin which says that the heart muscle is smooth and is not boleya the blood. Okay, so maybe we see that there are smooth things that aren't boleya, so we know glass is also smooth. But an even stronger makor is the Avos Rabbi Nassan. Avos Rabbi Nassan says there are three properties of glass, and one of them is that it's not boleya. That's pretty explicit. So, therefore, says the Rav Yah, there are actually three shitas, although interestingly, in the Beis Yosef and Torah, there are only two. Says the Rav Yah, it's not boleya. It's not boleya. However, the Yechiel says that it's like Kli Cheres. It's boleya ve'enopolate. It's boleya, and I don't mean enopolate, it won't bring the taste into your food. I mean, it won't be polate through Hagala, right? It's boleya, ve'efshar le'hagil. Right, you can leave it if you want, although that probably will break it. But it can't be kashered. Why? What's the svara? The svara of the Rav Yah is based on observation of the real world and it always Rabbi Nassar. Glass really is not boleya, right? When I was in high school and we had chem lab, we used glass beakers so they wouldn't be boleya all the chemicals. Right, glass, it's hard to get glass to be boleya. Okay, I once had a Rebbe who accidentally put cloves in a glass jar and forgot them for 20 years. And when he found them and emptied them out and washed out the glass jar, it was still green and smelled. So, maybe in some rare circumstances glass can be boleya, but still we know that under normal circumstances it's really hard to get glass to be boleya. What's the svar of Ben Yechiel? The svar of Ben Yechiel is, how do you make glass? You take sand and you forge it in a furnace. That's cheres. Glass is halachically cheres because it's made of dirt that you forge in a furnace. Of course, one is made of regular dirt and one is made of sand, and there are probably other differences that I'm not so familiar with. But nonetheless, Rabbi Yechiel says like cheres. That's their message. Yishmachemir rom dekli zuchuches afilo agalo lo mahani lehu. Vechein amin agashkaz umdinos elu. And that's the min agashkanazim. Adigam, is that Sfardim take all their glass stuff and use it for Pesach? They just rinse it well with a sponge and water to get rid of any bad. And Ashkenazim put it all away and don't kasher it at all, mostly. Vechein kli chesef sheish v'tochu hitoch zuchuch shkarim b'shmalz ein lagilo v'om mechotz ein amazik. Likewise, silver that is glazed on the inside, since it has glass, we can't use it. But if it's only glazed on the outside, that's not a problem because that doesn't touch your food.
Why would Rabbi Yechiel say that it's like halachically a kli cheres if it doesn't have the properties of a kli cheres? Like, obviously, the whole Gemara is point of Kli Cheres.
Right, so obviously he's not so much on our observations. I'm not sure. I mean, it's a weak Svara, I understand.
Like, we didn't have a known reality, then fine.
I understand. It seems to be strange. The answer is Serbian.
But, like, it's just another kind of Cheres. Like, scientifically, he's right.
Right, but meaning, though, Mars, the reason why the Gemara considers Kli Cheres is because...
Right. The truth is...
No, it's not, because there's a kasuv.
Yes. Maybe once it's been Rabbi Yechiel, if you said kashrut kelim is exeris a kasuv, then maybe it would be easier.
The Gemara derives from that exeris a kasuv, that you see that they can't be holy.
Okay, but nonetheless, maybe once exeris a kasuv, the exeris a kasuv applies even where the logic behind the exeris a kasuv doesn't.
Then the logic can't be derived.
No, it could be derived from the original example.
That's clearly not true.
Okay, it's sardium.
It's a loop.
By the way, can anyone think of a third possible shita that's not found in the Torah, not found in the Beis Yosef, and not found in the Shulchan Aruch Ramah?
I mean,
why can't it be like most things, right? Like stam things, right? Remember, we paskin that stone is bolea, but you can do agola, because if it's not mentioned in Shas, then it's a stam kli. And me'ikr, did we pass that way in plastic also? Right? So, is there a third shita? So, interestingly, it depends which books people had. The Mishnah Brura, as we know, the Mishnah Brura is into Rishonim. He loves finding new sheets in the Rishonim. Again, the Chazon Ish famously said that just because they discovered some manuscripts in Parma and printed them in Ivri doesn't make it part of the Masorah. The Mishnah Brura never wrote that he disagrees with that Chazon Ish, but every Simon of Mishnah Brura is very excited about Paskening based on this new Me'iri he found. And he likes looking at all the Rishonim. And the Mishnah Brura found, and the truth is, we can die from when Avram also knew of the Shita, even if he didn't necessarily know of it, we don't know what source he knew from. The Ritva and Pesachim quotes the Ra'ah as that middle Shita. This is in the Shar HaTzion, Sifkatan, Kof Tzarivav, Dematsasi, Bechidushi HaRitva, Haritva, b'shem hara'ah, the daitu gamkei, the kli zuchuchus bolei avitzar chagala. Ela, the kasa chagala lo mechani lo dechayishin mopaki. I mean, the ra ended up. Oh, hold on. The ra'ah ended up. is it a? He quotes it as a rabbinic Yoel. Is it Rabbeinu Yoel or Rabbeinu Yechiel in Beis Yosef, who has the Shita? I just noticed the Shar HaTzion says Rabbeinu Yoel. Okay, well, maybe it's Rabbeinu Yoel. Maybe I just wrote it wrong. I don't have my Beis Yosef here. Do you have a Beis Yosef?
No, but I have a ton of footnotes here, so I don't know what we'll pick up.
The Mordechai quotes someone. Okay. Whoever it is. Zechuchis. Who holds the Shita? One second. Here we are. Rabbeinu Yechiel. Okay, yeah, I'm not sure why the... here it is. The Trumas HaDeshen wrote Rabbeinu Yoel, but it's really Rabbeinu Yechiel. So Rabbeinu Yoel seems to be a Tov Sofer that was Mesgalgel for 600 years, but it's really Rabbeinu Yechiel. Rabbeinu Yechiel, which probably is. Anyway, the Ra'ah holds that it's Bolea the... But you can kasher it at least, theoretically, right? Meaning in his days, his glass would break if you kashered it. But in our days, where our glass is strong, withstand kashering, right? Then he would let you kasher it. So really, there are three shitas. How do we paskin? So, the Mechaber paskins, and Sfaradim are noted like the Rav Yah, the Ashkenazim pass like the Ramah, like Rabbeinu Yechiel. We all know that we do not kasher glass for Pesach, normally. Give me a second. sorry. However, the Magen Avraham says something interesting. I don't know if the Magen Avraham had a Ritva, but he was somehow mechaven to the Svara, maybe he saw some other mucker for the Svara. Who else holds like this? Okay, the truth is, there is this modern-day Sefer found
actually one or two other Rishonim, including Rav Shmuel Mifalez and his parish on the field of Rav Yosef Tvela that we mentioned, printed in the Ur Zeruah. Not Rav Yosef Tvela, but they're Bali Tosos who are a parish. Anyway, Lamaisa says the Magen Avraham, Bidi Eved, we can be Mitzari for Kula here. If you did Hagala, now you have two-thirds of the Rishonim on your side. Again, approximating, right? If you did Hagala, so what about Bidi Eved? Let's see how we pass it. Lechatchila Aser. What about Bidi Eved? Again, what do you mean Bidi Eved? I mean, can you use it? I mean, right? If you used it on Pesach, does it make your food chametz thick? So there are two levels. Says the Magen Avraham. Im Higel, Mutter B'dievet. If you didn't have Golot, Mutter B'dievet, then you have the Rav Yah and the Ra'ah to be Somechan. Which the Magen Avraham never quoted the Ra'ah. He obviously knew there was such a possibility, or Shita. The Taz goes further, though. The Taz sounds like it's Mutter L'gamrei. Says the Taz, B'dievet, Mutter. Adds the Mishnah Brura. Adds the Mishnah Brura to this Taz, if you have two other Tzadim L'Hakel. Meaning, if you have a Tzad L'Hakel of the Rav Yah and Hagol of the Ra'ah, then B'dievet it won't make your food treif. Let's say you're in the Sephardi's house, and they cook in their Chometz Dik Pirates glass dish for Pesach. So, if they have done Hagol to it, then B'dievet you can eat the food. Okay, but that's not likely. Or the Taz has like B'dievet it's not kosher. But the Mishnah Berurah says no, only if you add two Tzadim L'Hakel, if it's Hefsin Meruba and Eino Ben Yomo. So if you have glass that's Eino Ben Yomo and Hefsin Meruba, then.
You need both, it's Eino Ben Yomo.
Let's see. This is the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkatan. Give me a second. Kofnun Hay. The truth is he has another Hetzer. 1 second. It sounds like you need both, but he has another Hetzer also. What's his other Hetzer? His other Hetzer is if. What's his third Hetzer? Well, this is obvious much of a DF it. If it was used mostly for cold, then everyone knows Ashkenaz are making B'dievet. Right? So B'dievet, we have three Atir. Number one, with Hagalah. Number two, with Hefsin Meruba and Eino Ben Yomo. Number three, if it was Rov Tashmisho B'tzonein, then we already know from Sivav that that's Mutter B'dievet, because Ashkenaz B'dievet will eat the food if something was kashul, if you Rov Tashmisho, if it was mostly used for cold, and they washed it with cold water, then it's okay.
Three hetir, any one of them works.
Exactly.
The Taz happens to have two components.
Right. I mean, the Taz himself makes it sound like it doesn't mean that. Right. But we added to it. Okay. Two other ha'aros. One other ha'aro from the Mishnah Berurah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, he says, what if you have a shas hadchak? The Mishnah Berurah, read this Mishnah Berurah with me. Kof nun vav. Says the Mishnah Berurah, kof nun vav. I think he's going to chayi adam, if I'm not mistaken. What's he quoting here? Maybe the base mayor. Okay. What does he say? And we call back when Makkajay Ninta cleans the Chukhov in the coast of Sharkalim. Oh, Kahayadim. Yeah, that's what I thought. Katzvachayadim. And if you live in a country where you don't have glasses, you can't buy new glasses, and you don't have glasses and other kalim to use on Pesach, Katzvachayadim, Yachal Lismach Lahakal, and I close on Yachal Yachal Achshir, Ali de Iro Gimel Yamim. You can, there's room to be Makel and Kash them with Iro 3 days. Meaning soaking them in water for 3 days. And he says, because we're talking about things that were not used hot. Well, that's if you can clean it. Continuing, but if you can buy new ones, you shouldn't change them in Ashkenaz. So many of us might remember, our parents might remember, our great-grandparents who soaked all the glasses for 3 days before Pesach, that was only mutter, according to this Chayav, the Mishnah Berurah,
because they couldn't afford other glasses for Pesach. In the old days, people were dirt poor. Nowadays, there's no heter to kasher glass for Pesach for Ashkenazim, because it's not just that we're rich. I think it's just that kalim are very cheap nowadays. Now, once upon a time, before they mass manufactured them in China, they were very expensive. And you had to be rich to afford new glasses. Nowadays, a glass is, you know, the price of a can of Coke. So a glass costs the same amount as what you drink it at once. So therefore, there's no heter to do this now, unless you're on the desert island or something. And we, Ashkenazim, would not kosher it at all. One of the big machlokas, let me just point out, is this minig Ashkenaz, as Chesky pointed out, really the Rav Yoss seems to have a better time. This minig Ashkenaz, is this Chomer de Pesach, or is this across the Alam Chelkei Shulchan Aruch? Are Ashkenazim only machmer on Pesach, or are they machmer across the board? It's sometimes hard to tell, because we know Ashkenazim generally are very machmer on Pesach. So here it's a big machlokas. It started out really as a machlokas among the Sephardic Rishonim. There are some countries where they were machmer like Raman, they are Achronim. They argue whether they were machmer only on Pesach or not, and then in modern times, in the last century, the Ashkenazic Rishonim, the Achronim started arguing about it. L'maisa ad hayom hazeh, there's a big difference of opinion, there's a big machlokas. Ad hayom hazeh, there is no clear maskana what Ashkenazim hold about glass all year long. On Pesach, we're for sure machmer. What about all year long? Big machlokas. There are those people who, when mamish, they have glass, they use it for meat and milk all year long. Then there are those people who say, nope, this Ramah is across the board. Halach l'maisa, Ray Willig Paskins, and the other of the Rosh Yeshiva of our Yeshiva, to be mechalkin l'chachila b'di'evet, l'chachila, we should be machmer all year long. And therefore, we should not use the same glass for meat and milk or kosher or treif, etc. However, b'di'evet, not b'di'evet, the food, b'di'evet, if you have to throw out your kli, b'di'evet, let's say you had a glass milk kli that got splashed hot meat on it, or vice versa. B'di'evet, then we're so mechal mechaber, and you can still use it all year long, because really, this Ramah is a form of Yaseira for Pesach. So l'chachila, we should be machmer all year long. B'di'evet, we can be makel. So wants to be machmer and makel, machmer l'chachila and b'di'evet. That's also, they have the right to. So wants to be machmer, wants to be makel l'chachila b'di'evet, they have the right to. But the most, I think the most proper opinion is to be machmer l'chachila, but to be makel b'di'evet. And that, see, the Minhag HaOlam, I think, is to be machmer l'chachila. However, I think we discussed this once earlier in Hilchos Bechalav, for drinking glasses that people, like, drink cold out of, there's a minhag to be makel even l'chachila, to use the same drinking glasses to drink at fleishik meals and milchik meals, the logic being that you just drink cold things in them, and you never use the for hot. I'm not talking about mugs. I'm talking about where you drink, so even if you drink milk out of them. But still, you only drink cold out of them, and you never drink meat out of them. And so the minhag is to be makel by drinking glasses, and even though we wash them, okay, there's many tzadim l'hakol we've discussed. However, for things that, like glass plates that you put hot food on, and certainly Parvex baking dishes, and anything that's used hot, l'chachila, we should keep separate from meat and milk, and we should, if something's treif, then we should not buy it used. Like, we shouldn't buy used glass on eBay. Used glass food kale on eBay.
I think used only for cold, you don't have to kosher in between. It's just like, you could just
rinse it. Yeah, I think a lot of people, they have one set of drinking glasses for meat and milk. I don't know. When I was a kid, they did. I now have separate drinking glasses for meat and milk. That's because I work for YU and I'm rich and I live in a mansion. So I have enough cabinets for separate drinking glasses. But people who don't work for YU, and they have people who learn for YU, and they have much smaller kitchens or whatever, or people who work for other universities and are not rich. A lot of people have one set of drinking glasses for meat and milk, and I think that's fine. Chav Zayin, last one. Shpud yashan shetzolubo of the Pesach mutarin afish mikodem tzolubo vasar beluach melchlo nivdak. This reminds us a little bit of the baskets, except for the fact that there's no holes in it. A spit that you used to roast meat that was perfectly just an animal. However, the meat was salted with salt that you didn't check if any chametz fell into. Right? The Mishnah Berurah points out. We're not talking about a spit that you use to roast meat pie or to roast some sort of actually dough. Then it means limud. It's mamash a chametz stick baking utensil. Here we're talking about it was only used for pure meat. And the meat had no chametz. It was just salted, and the salt might have had a little chametz in it. So, what's the din? The din is, that if you roast on it for Pesach, it is fine. At the Ramah, though, mehuing hatar rak b'di'eved. That's only b'di'eved. Lechatchila, we are, we're machmir, meaning the Ramah says that lechatchila rechoshesh may be a little blia of chametz got into this spit, and therefore we wouldn't use it lechatchila. But b'di'eved lo maslikin and isura, we're not going to assume something happened. If we have no reason to think it happened, b'di'eved it's mutter. V'chein abarzer shel chviyah shel yayin nogin l'dichan. Likewise, the tap in the barrel of wine, right? Remember, you could like in the westerns, they would screw a tap into the barrel. Even though there's no reason to think it should have chametz, it's just wine, but still, they weren't careful, right? People use chametz stick hands, the Mishnah Berurah explains. They took wine with chametz stick hands, therefore, nogin ladichim, we should wash them well before Pesach lechachila. V'chein ha'itzim she'tokhlem kli shchtiya. And likewise, the pegs that you hang your cups on. In those days, instead of cabinets, they apparently had pegs, and they just put the glass, like, upside down onto the peg. You don't use it for chametz, but still, you use it with chametz stick meals with dirty hands, and just in case. So just in case, Achshinazim, we're very machmir, maybe Sfardim also on this. Shtrichan Dachalusim and Kelo Pesach, you should rinse them if you want to put Kelo Pesach. The upshot of this Ramah is that anything that you have no reason to think on any chametz, but could have because it was in a chametz stick environment, you should clean, kasher, or rinse, whatever's appropriate, for Pesach. Okay. We're not going to get to the Magen Avraham and Tazir. So much for Siman Tov Dan Aleph.
But even there, like, there might still be chametz be'en on?
Yeah. In the last two, the tap and the peg, there might be chametz be'en. In the shpud, there might be a blea of chametz.
Right.
Therefore, you have
here, obviously, we're never using it with any hot
ribs. Right, just the end. And then the shpud, right, I don't know if the Mishnah Berurah says how you should kasher it lechatchila, but you would think that you would kasher it through liban kal because it's only due to a chumra that we kasher it.
Right.
That would be logical. Okay, Tafnan Beis. Tafnan Beis is Tafnan Aleph is about basically what you can kasher and what you can't and what mode of kashering. Tafnan Beis is about how to do Haggalah. Right? Zman Haggalas Kalim is sort of a funny title. Sometimes the title comes from the very beginning, not representative of the whole simon. Chesky?
Yeah.
Can you get the board, please? Now, most of Tafnun Beis, I believe, deals with a fundamental problem that a question the Gemara never asked, which is, if you remember, we said there's a difference between Liban and Haggalah. What does Liban do to the treif blios? It incinerates them, destroys them, so they no longer exist. What does Haggalah do with the treif blios?
Pulls them into the water.
It's mafl with them, makes them go out into the water. This, of course, creates a problem. If the treif blios go into the water, why don't they go back and treif up the kli? Right? That's an obvious question, which the Gemara never asked. And there are some Rishonim don't worry about. The,
Do you think that silence is is the silence of the Gemara a reason to think that it's not a fair question? Like, do you think that's where some of the Rishonim got that, like, way fair?
Very few Rishonim think it's not a fair question, though. Very few.
The ones that don't mention, like the Rif.
Okay, I guess the question is, like, how to make an argument from silence of the Rishonim.
Right, I'm saying, are the Rishonim...
Right. Could be. So, yeah, so let us...
It's such an obvious question.
Right. It seems to be a very obvious question, right? Okay, there is one weird cheetah's yachid, but I forget where it is, that maybe Haggalah actually incinerates the Isser, which would solve this problem. But that's not that's even less mainstream. Lemaisa, the
the Beis Yosef only gives a little hint. He says, the Ran quotes the Ramban, who says it's not a problem in the first place. Okay. And as Chesky points out, a lot of Rishonim don't say anything about this, which might imply it's not a problem in the first place. Okay, why is it not a problem in the first place? It's hard to know for sure. The Ramban says maybe it's like very little that would go in and come back, and therefore that's the Bashishim. Not 100% clear. We paskin that it is a problem. We're going to assume it is a problem.
Isn't the most basic understanding that just like our meat that fell into our milk, that we don't assume it was published, if there's less than 60, we don't assume that it like kept re-pulling in because it stayed hot, that like that's the same thing going on in the clay?
Could be. Okay, let me come back to it in a moment. Okay. Lemaisa, there are basically four solutions suggested by the Rishonim. I'm not going to list the names of all the Rishonim. You want to go through the Beis Yosef and fill them in. There are four basic solutions. Three simple and one very complicated. There are four solutions. What are the four solutions? One solution, which is, maybe I'll go in order of the Shulchan Aruch. One solution, which is mentioned by the Tosos and the Rashan and Mordechai and many, many Rishonim. Right? One solution is Kodem Sha'ah Chamishis. Do Hagala before the fifth hour. If you do Hagala before the fifth hour, then how does that solve this problem? Exactly. Not Barnat de Hetera. It is still Heter before the fifth hour. It is still Heter, which means that it'll go into the Mayim and back into the Kli, but that's a not Barnat de Hetera. Basically, coming to the Kli, Kli into Mayim is already not Barnat de Hetera. The Magen Avraham actually asks, I'm not going into this now, the first Magen Avraham is very important, just so that you don't come to a wrong conclusion. He says, Ashkenazim are not normally somecha naparnat de teira for Pesach. Like, if you cook something in a chametz stick kli, we consider it a chametz stick. He said, but in this case, you have three steps. Because it was chametz kli is one, kli to mayim is two, mayim back into kli is three, then we're somecha naparnat de teira. Okay, that's one solution. There is something funny about this, if I can just go a little out of order. The Ramah, both in the Ramah and the Darkei Moshe, changes one number. How does the Ramah quote this heter of Kodem Sha'ah Chamishis? The Ramah consistently in the Darkei Moshe and in the Ramah says Sha'ah Shishis. Right? What does he say? Says the Ramah. He says La'achar Shesh. In the end of this, Kodem Shesh. He says six instead of five. There is a difference. The fifth hour, it's usher to eat midrabanan. The sixth hour, it's usher to eat and usher b'hanna midrabanan. After the sixth hour, it's usher d'oraisa. We paskin. But it's what is this Ramah of the Sha'ah Shishis, right? We'll make this a little star. Right?
He says Kodem Sha'ah Shishis or Ah?
He says Sheish, so it's a little hard to tell.
Right, so I would
but in the Darkei Moshe, he says, do you have the Darkei Moshe? I forgot my tour. I think his Moshe is Kodem Sha'ah Shishis. So now, here, the Ramah says Shishis, sixth hour. That's very strange. We all know it's Asher Yichametz in the fifth hour. What's Pshat? So here's a fundamental machlokis. Says the Magen Avraham in the Mishnah Brura, Magen Avraham and Mishnah Brura say, Lav Davka, he meant Chamishis. Okay, I mean, I don't think the Mishnah Brura or the Magen Avraham thought that was a good shot in the Ramah. This just shows you how stuck they were. Right? The Taz
the Taz does not say Daz Dafka. He quotes Ramah as Shishas. He assumes that the Ramah is Dafka, but he doesn't explain it. If you want to explain the Ramah, then maybe you could explain the Ramah based on the famous Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav has a famous vart, and he's medayik in the Rambam, that Shachamishis and Shashishis are al pilumdas, two totally different Isurim. Shashishis is an extension of the Isur Chameitz, it's an Isur Chefza of Chameitz in Rabbanan. Shachamishis is just an Isur Achiv Gavra to be extra Zahir and be on the safe side. And therefore, he says many nafkaminas. He says Vazak and Mamri argues on Hedron about Shashishis, that would be considered part of an extension of Isur Karis and be Chayiv Misa. But if he argues about Shachamishis, he wouldn't be Chayiv Misa. That's the deep in the Rambam. He's been like in the Lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam sounds like Shashishis is Chameitz. Shachamishis isn't really Chameitz, it's just an Isur Gavra. So maybe you could say that if you hold like the lums of the Brisker Rav, that Shachamishis is an Isur Gavra and Shashishis is an Isur Chefza, you can understand why it's considered not burn out the Teir until Shashishis. Okay, that's a big fancy Brisker Lumdus, that Brisker Rav, which has roots in the Rambam. But I wouldn't necessarily assume that the Ramah held like every fancy Lumdus of the Brisker Rav, but here there's an inexplicable Ramah, and either you have to say Lav Davka, or it's probably much preferable to say that he somehow held like the Lumdus of the Brisker Rav. Even though, I'm not sure why he would have paskin like the Lumdus of the Brisker Rav, even if it's shot in the Ramah. Okay, but that's the Ramah, one way or the other. So maybe, this is in Hilchos Chametz Matzah. Svara? Based on the famous chiluk of the Brisker Rav. Okay, that's one heter. What's the second heter? The easiest? Exactly. Only kasher kli after 24 hours. Right, so Tosfos and Daf Kuf asked the kasha, but midoraisa, you only had the kasha kli within 24 hours, so what were they thinking then? Okay, so Tosfos' answer is not for us now. But lemaisa, only kasher kli, maybe Chazal meant you should only kasher your kelim 24 hours after they were used, and then, if no sentam lefgam, of course it doesn't make the water treif. No sentam lefgam, right? Three, what's a third simple eitzah?
Enough water.
Exactly. Is Shishim B'mayim K'neged HaKli. If the water is 60 times the Kli, again, that's not going to help if you're a giant pot. But if you're kashering the spoons and forks, very easy. Don't kasher the spoon and fork in a tiny pot. Kasher the spoon and fork in a big pot, which is more than 60, and then it's bottled with Shishim in the water. Right, so this is Nosim Tam Gam. And this is based on Bittul B'Shishim. What's in parentheses is like why the water is not chametzdik. Right? Why the water is not chametzdik. And what these have in common is that the water is not chametz. Then there's a fourth approach, which has many details. What's the fourth approach? Then?
Who cares if the water is chametz? As long as it's boiling hot, it can't go back into your pot.
Exactly. I be the tart lemiflat lo bali, just like we say. I mean, it's not so clear if we say it. Let's assume when it comes to salting meat, that when it's in the process that salting brings blood out, blood doesn't go in. Right? That's a classic kasha. Right? It's the same kasha. How do you salt meat? Why doesn't the blood go out and then come back in to the bliach grotach? So, one of the classic answers is, because when it's going out, it can't go in. So, now, I don't know if the Rishonim actually use this phrase, but it's clearly the idea.
I think somebody put it in the
Rishonim. Okay, so the idea is that I did the turret lemiflat lo bali, meaning when blia, or let's say better, while Blia is going out, it doesn't come in. Notice, in this case, it's fundamentally different. Here's saying the water is chametz dik, right? If you use this solution. The water is chametz dik. You could use either of these four solutions, perhaps. The water is chametz dik. But it doesn't affect the kli. Right? Because the time goes out, it doesn't come back in. Okay, now if you're going to use this eitzah, you're going to have to be makpid on a lot of details. Now, in some of these details, there's room to be mesupik, whether you need or and. I'm going to call it all and for now, right? Although, yesh l'stapik got some of them. What are some of the details you need to be makpid on?
Has it still be boiling?
What are some of the details you need to be makpid on? Number one, the water has to stay boiling. Because if the water gets below boiling, it's just yatzo lettuce though, then it no longer is polite, so it would be polea. Right? So details A.
We didn't see that in Chulin when this happened.
What?
When this happened in
Chulin, sure, once it went down and went back in. Once it was noach miyutei chuso, right? Remember?
Oh,
same
right.
Thing.
But, yeah.
Okay, what are some other details?
How you place the kli in. Or like meaning the UPG. You do 60% of the kli, and then
exactly.
Then 60%, and then overlap.
Don't kasher twice, right? Because the first time we polate, the second time we polate. And as Chesky points out, not just don't kasher twice. That's a halbutzar. You can't even kasher part of the kli twice. If I'm dipping it, remember I said you do it half at a time. Now all of a sudden, that's not so pashut because I can't do exactly 50-50. Then what if I did 49-49 and it's not kosher? So what do I have to do? I do like 60 and 60. Then the middle 20, I kasher twice.
Yeah, so this part of that, won't it just, you retrieve it and then re-kasher it and then pull it out?
Right. So, that's why I say I don't want to go into the details. There's a lot you could argue as to whether all of these are necessarily so clear.
In terms of that, though, what if you say that? No, it's ID to target the ulia, it can't be mapped. Yeah. Because now it's absorbing. The part that's clean is absorbing the pleos.
How long does it take to be polite?
We don't know.
But meaning it can't be polite.
We don't necessarily know. We really could go into each one of the svaras whether true or not. I just want to make a list of everything that's been suggested. What else has been suggested that you have to be makpid on? Okay, let's
add. How clean the water is?
No. Here, how about this? Don't leave it in too long. Right?
Okay.
After all, if you leave it in too long, it'll finish being poly and be volea. Now, Ben will have the same objection, but let's let it go for now. What else? How about D? What about some kelim with a lot of leos and some kelim with a little leos? If you do I develop kelim with a lot of leos together with kelim with a little leos, the kelim with a little leos will finish first, and then the kelim with a lot of leos will overpower them, right? This is, again, this all comes from models in Malicha, right? We can't be moleach fish with meat because the fish is soft. It's not such a great parallel. But anyway, that's what he says, right? Can't kasher kelim with harbe blios or blios can kasher kelim with much blia together with kelim with only a little blia. Right? You can't kasher kelim with a lot of blia together with kelim with a little blia. Not only that, but what other problem, what other things might you want to be makpid on according to this? According to this, okay, beseder, but really everyone's makpid on that, because even if it's based on nosen kam lefgam or something, maybe you shouldn't drink the water of it lechachila. We discussed that already.
Right, then
you'd have to kasher the kashrin pot afterwards. Why? Because the kashrin pot's sitting there the whole time. It for sure absorbs the treif. Right? It sits there the whole time, even after it's been polaid and absorbs the treif. Not only that, but you'd have to kasher the kashrin pot before. Right? Afterwards and beforehand. Because the kashering pot has a lot of bleos, and maybe those bleos will somehow, if you some other detail gets messed up for 1 second, go into the other kalim. Basically, this is a very unwieldy hefter, this number four. But a lot of Rishonim assume that this was the hefter Chazal had in mind. Why? Because after all, Chazal talked about kashering treif kalim also, so they obviously didn't only mean kodem shel chamishis. They also talked about kashering treif kalim of gadim, right? And they didn't mean to only kasher enim and yomo. They mistama meant to kasher even and yomo kalim. And they didn't mean only when you had shishim kenegdo. They meant all shapes of kalim. So this must be what Chazal had in mind. This becomes very tricky, especially if you don't leave it in too long, because you can't leave it in too short either, right? According to the Rif, you have to leave it in long enough to be polite, but not too long, there'll be bolea. And as the Rav Yah asks on him, he says that becomes impossible.
Another detail you have to work out is also wash off the water
afterwards. Correct. Also wash off the water afterwards. Thank you. Wash off the hot water afterwards. What do I mean? When you take the kli out of the Hagalah, it still has drops of hot water on it, which are chametz stick. Maybe they'll go back in. So you have to wash it off in cold water right away. Right? That's the Chomer Rashi. Which may have come up in Shas, except we'll see. Rashi and Shas does not interpret that way. Okay, so this is our problem. Now the question is the solutions, right? So we want to figure out, like, which of these, what should we be doing? So let us look at, first of all, one other big detail. Shishim. Shishim neged what? I have a big kashering pot. It's full of water. That water needs to be 60 times
the
bleel
for the pot.
The kli that I'm kashering or the kalim that I'm kashering? Okay. What if I kasher many kalim one after the other? Do we say kamakam bottle and as long as it's 60 times each kli it's okay? Or do we say chozer v'nei, or it needs to be 60 times all the kalim? Once it needs to be 60 times all the kalim, it becomes very impractical, as you can easily imagine, right? So, the 60 times each kli, that's the opinion of the Ravid. This is based on Kama Kama Batel, if we recall. The Ravid was the big champion of Kama Kama Batel and Sin Sadi Kes. Obviously, when I say each kli, if you put two in at the same time, it needs to be both of them. Right? Or all the kalim until you switch the water. This is the opinion of the Rashba, based on Chozer V'Neger, we paskin, like the Rashba, which means that the heter of Shishim is not such a great heter, because as soon, let's say you have a pot that holds 60 quarts of water, as soon as you've toveled a quart of kalim, you have to switch the water and get new water and reboil it. That's very impractical. Meaning no koshering station has 60 times all the kalim people put in every day.
I thought we had said back in that we passed in the Chozer V'Neger, specifically when there's like actual essence, like there's like
a, when there's missing this time, like here.
But here, do we assume that the bleos have different, like the same time?
Chametz.
Chametz hasn't tasted it.
I mean, bread. Eventually, it'll add up. I understand you're saying Shuvah Vatlan's that's a different taste.
Yes.
But eventually, it'll add up nonetheless. In the meantime.
Right. Presumably, like the last time you used your bowls, you served your family all the same food.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Lemaisa needs kashering station when there's a line of 500 people.
Right, but
that's not going to help.
We all have different food that we used it with, and my food tastes different than your food. I don't. They're different meaning. They're all the same thing.
I don't know. Enough of us ate.
Yeah, I mean, everybody.
I find that it restores this hetter greatly. I suppose that was unreal.
I hear. Yes, right. Yes, fine. I'm all there. It just becomes a matter of estimating how the world works. Okay. Now, I'm not going to go through each Rishon and what they said about this. Let's go to the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Aleph. Right? Aleph. Yesh li zoher lahagel kodim shah hamishis. Kinesh li yitzarech ledakdek im akelim b'nei yoman olav. Says the Shulchan Aruch, good advice, do it before shah hamishis. By the way, we clearly pass in shah hamishis. That Shishis is not in our lexicon. Why? Then you don't have to worry if it's Ben Yomo. Om Yishamach Vayin Neglisha Magil. Or if it's Batul B'Shishim. Or V'chein Im. So what does the Mechaber say? He says, this is his suggestion. But he implies, Ein Ben Yomo would also do the trick. Right? Meaning, let's see who brings these things down. The Mechaber says, my suggestion is Kodem Chamish. Otherwise, you'll have to make sure it's Ein Ben Yomo. The Ramah says, or that it's Batul B'Shishim. And then the Mechaber adds, or what's another option? V'chein imagul kelim shalliyasa mu'etes im kelim shalliyasa meruba. V'chein imashah kelim b'socha yorah yosem midai v'chein imashah son kalkach. V'chein k'dei shal yisarch lizar shal yinucha mayim meriti chasan. I'm skipping the Ramah for now. Stays boiling, Mechaber. Don't leave it in too long, Mechaber. Don't kasher kelim with a lot of liyos together with kelim with little liyos, says the Mechaber. Skipping the Ramah. Oh, there's another one. Not to put the kelim in. This is, it's really similar to this. Don't give the kelim in after it goes down from boiling. Don't put the kelim in before it's boiling. Why? Because then they'll make the, they'll absorb chametz from the water. And even though they'll be kashered afterwards, Ben and the Mishnah were asked, still, lechatchila, you shouldn't make them chametz stick. V'chein k'dei shetzarech lahagel yor hagdol shemagil matchila v'sof. Right? Says the Mechaber, all these hakpados, the Taz adds, even though the Mechaber apparently didn't worry about this, he adds this hakpada. Now again, it could very well be that some of these are choices, like maybe A or C is good enough instead of A and C, but I'm not getting into it now. Basically, you see the four divisions, and it's all, almost all mentioned in this one sif. You have these four options. The best option is before Shach HaMishas. Then you don't have to worry about anything. Just open the kashering station, close it to Shach HaMishas, and anything goes. Life is simple. But now it helps. Obviously, other Yisurim is not going to help. Right? That becomes that's good for Pesach. So, now, the... continuing. The Ramah. So basically, the Mechaber gives you all four options, but he thinks the most convenient option is Eitzah Tova is option number one. Says the Ramah. Well, okay, let us take a bit of a tangent. There was a misunderstanding here. There's apparently a misunderstanding. What did the Mechaber mean? He meant that if you do before Shavuot Chamishis, you don't have to make sure that it's boiling the whole time. Says the Mechaber, Kodem Sha'ah Chamishis, Einu Tzorech Lahakbid, Shehamayim Lo Nochim Meriti Chusan. Right, you don't have to be makbid that they stay boiling. What did he mean by this? All the Achronim say what he meant is, well, not all the Achronim. What did he mean? What did the Ramah object? The Ramah says, not true. Achravim chokos v'yeludein agol v'az klum v'ein amayim rotchem al keinli shizor v'ilu kodos v'ani shur shalom yinuchim t'chaz v'kos v'ayim. Ramah says, that's ridiculous. You always need boiling water for Hagolah. That has nothing to do with, meaning this is the problem of like retrafing. The Ramah says, forget about retrafing. You can't do Hagolah, objects the Ramah. Says the Ramah, he argues and says, it's not Hagolah if the water isn't boiling.
Meaning, forget about the problem of it'll go out and come back in. It's just not cold hagola if it's not boiling. It's not the getter of hagola if it's not boiling. You can't do hagola with lukewarm water. Now, what was the Ramah thinking? So here is a big machlokas. What the Ramah was thinking. Between the Magen Avraham and Mishnah Berurah versus the... what the Mechaber was thinking. So, within the Mechaber, says the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah that it was really a misunderstanding. He really agrees with the Ramah. Of course it has to be boiling. What did he mean? He meant, of course, you have to do a golem in boiling water. He just meant it's okay if after you do a golem in boiling water, it cools down. He just meant that it's okay if it cools down after the hagola with the kli inside. That's all the Mechaber meant. He meant that before the fifth hour, if you do hagola in boiling water and then leave your silverware in the pot and it cools down, that's okay, because even though the tam goes back in, it's not burnt out that teira. He didn't mean you could kasher non-boiling water. He really agrees with Ramah. However, Rabbi Kiva Eger here says, nope, Mechaber really holds you can kasher in non-boiling water. We all know, we're indoctrinated from elementary school, to kasher the water needs to be mamish boiling, not just hot. It needs to be mamish boiling, 212 degrees, a rolling ball. That's what the Ramah says. And the Magen Avraham Mishnah Berurah says, the Mechaber also meant that. It was just a misunderstanding. The Mechaber innocently said, as long as you do it before the fifth hour, and you put it into boiling water, it's okay if after it's kasher it cools off. And the Ramah thought he meant you never need boiling water. Of course you need boiling water. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, no. The Mechaber really meant you don't need boiling water.
He doesn't sound like that at all.
He doesn't sound like
that. It's not our indoctrination of me thinking like the Mechaber that it brings.
You're right.
Just don't let it drop below, because like that, and the water's coming off of also all the primary sources are all saying, don't let it drop below. Nobody says
you're right.
Like, I don't know how to defend the Ramah, but I wouldn't try to say it. And the Mishnah Berurah that he was taught.
Yeah. Anyway, but Lemaisa, Rabbi Kiva Eger says he actually had a diuk in the Ramah, actually had a diuk in the Mechaber, the Mechaber really meant it. Now, the truth is, maybe I overspoke. I'm not sure Rabbi Kiva Eger is promising the Mechaber meant it. He just thinks the Ramah had good basis for thinking the Mechaber meant it. That's almost the same thing. Okay, that's a radical shita. How do we paskin? Maybe the, yeah?
Didn't the Magen Avraham in Tavna Aleph in Siv Zion say...
By the knives?
Yeah.
Yes, that's because the knives, he assumes, were only used off the fire, and therefore it's more makel.
Okay. It was a special cool.
The Levushei Srat didn't even say that. Correct. Well, that'll tie into the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says two things. Number one, he says... Let me give you some practical advice. He says, you think I don't know what goes on in the real world? He says, I know full well what happens then when you do Hagala. You take a pot, you boil it, boiling water, exactly 100 degrees Celsius. Then you dip some kalim in it, dip kalim. They cool it off. Every kli you dip into it, tekasher, cools it off, because the kli was colder than 100 degrees Celsius. The kli was room temperature. So therefore he says, you know what? It quickly, in a public kashering station, it quickly goes down. And he says, you know what the problem is? Who runs the public kashering stations?
Some teenagers.
Right? Teenagers! Not Urim! Right? And I mean, who are Ami Arts? Right? Not like when Ben used to do it. And they don't pay any attention. Therefore, he says it's very important to have a mashgiach at the kashering stations to make sure that it stays boiling. Okay, good advice. Now, how about b'dieved? B'dieved, is there any room to be somech on non-boiling kashering? On this alleged mechaber that... probably never even meant it, but maybe did mean it, even though the Ramah disagrees, says the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkatan Ches, Afilu bidi eved, Dvarim shetashmisho lekli rishon, Nirad afilu bidi eved, lo mahani hagol azu, v'tzarch lachzor u lehagil. He says, if something was used in a kli rishon, certainly if something is used in a kli rishon, certainly on the fire, even b'di evid, you have to kash. This kashering doesn't work. However, he said, if you used it then on Pesach and it wasn't Ben Yomo, you can mitzaref this alleged mechaber who says maybe it was kashered with the shita that heter nosim hamlof gam, and you can be matur the food. So therefore, there is some room to be makel. It's not a shita nidches, says the Mishnah Brura. Mishnah Brura, bidi eved. It's still usher. Again, if, not if it's using a cliche in your Ebroi, etc. Bidi eved, it's usher. If kli was used for chametz in a kli rishon, but you can be makel on the food if you add eino ben yomo. So if you have a kli that was used mamish like a stirring spoon, used in a kli rishon, and they kashered in this kashering station with the ne'orim without a yirei shamayim or whoever he suggests here, bal torah without a bal torah, and it was a labaki, and it was a little less than boiling. You can't use that on Pesach, put it with the chametz kelim. But if someone used it on Pesach and it wasn't ben yomo, then there's makom to be makel. So therefore, it's not mamish the end of the world, but it's very, very halachically wrong. Okay, that is a detail. Now let's continue in the Ramah. Let's figure out how we paskin. Okay? Says the Ramah. V'im lo hegel kodozani suro yochel hagel ad Pesach. If you don't do that gola before, we'll call it shachamishis. You can still do that gola till sunset, till nightfall. She'azah chametz b'mashu ve'inu mo'ol ha'gola, because then chametz b'mashu and it doesn't work. She'chozer bo'leya. Avol mocha labin kli toch ha'pesach. Uk she'magil. La'achar sheish, kodem pesach, la'achar sheish, shark lizor b'chol ha'dvar man izkarim, she'in shark lizor b'em kodem sheish. Okay, Chesky, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to ask you for some room. I'm going to have to erase the left half of the board. Okay, first let's discuss the timelines. Actually, you know what? Maybe I'm wrong. Timelines. So, this is LP, right? Timelines for the Ramah. Timeline LP din for Ashkenazim. Right? So, until Shachamishes, it's Mutter Alpi Svara 1. Right? Not Barat Datera. Home free. Erev Pesach, Achar Shachamishes, it's now not Barat Isura. But in Erev Pesach, what two Aterim still apply? No sintam lefgam and bitl b'shishim apply in Erev Pesach. Right? So he says, you should just make sure to do two or three. Right? And that's okay at Erev Pesach. But on Pesach, you can't do agola. Why? Because there's no bittel b'shishim or no seintam lifgam on Pesach. And therefore, you can't do agola on Pesach. You can do leave on Pesach, that incinerates. And that's halacha l'maisa. Again, I don't mean yontif. Yantiv, you can't do a gol or leave because it's velach. I mean, cholamoy. You can leave it on cholamoy. You want to take out a chametz to kli and be malabin on cholamoy? Fine. But you can't do it if you're Ashkenazic. You can't do a gol on cholamoy. Now, there is a strange sheet that the Mishnah Brura quotes from the Chok Yaakov, who makes a big chiddush who makes a big chiddush? The Chak Yaakov makes a new chiddush. Says the Chak Yaakov, he says, between, let's say, 4 and 6, he says, right? In the Shachamishas and Shashishas, sorry, he says, says the Chak Yaakov, on Erev Pesach Achar Chatzos, you need to do 2 and 3 and 4. So it sounds like all the things mentioned. He has a very strange sheet that he's medayik in the Ramah, which is not so logical. He says that why did the Ramah say b'chol hadvarim? You have to be makban on everything. Why not just say you makban on one thing? He says it must be that during the 5th and 6th hours, just pick one thing. But in the afternoon, you have to be makban on everything. Because once the afternoon, it's an issue d'oraisa, therefore makban b'chachil on everything. Okay, that's a strange sheet of the Chak Yaakov. The pashas is there are moments there are three that there are three levels, and that's what there were quotes from most achronim. Right, so pashas we don't pass like the Chak Yaakov, although we'll see it's not such an afkamina. Now, one interesting thing in the Ramah, the okay. Before we get to minhag, let's ask this question. Does anyone disagree with these 4 heterim? Is there anyone who says these 4 heterim don't work? Is there anyone who disagrees? So, Eina ben Yomo, no one disagrees with. How can you disagree with that, Eina ben Yomo? And even though Eina vat lish l'chachila, clearly this is not a problem with lish l'chachila. Okay, how about Shishim b'mayim k'neged akli? If you have bitl with Shishim, no one can disagree with that either. Bitl b'shishim is a rule, right? How can you disagree with bitl b'shishim? However, according to the Rashba, exactly. But with the Rashba, it's not as practical because it's closer in air. You right? But no one disagrees. The question is, does anyone disagree with these other heterim? Does anyone disagree with this heter that says if you do everything exactly right, it'll be tar l'mifla, it won't be volea? Now, you and I can imagine it'd be easy to disagree with that because it seems like a lot of assumptions. In the Rishonim, no one's explicitly disagree, but the first Bi'ur Halacha says that that based on the Gra, that he's Medayik and Tosos and the Rush. Where is it? I'm sorry, give me half a second. Yes, the Rashba here, and I thought he also said a Diuk in okay. Says the Bi'ur Halacha, he quotes the Rashba. I thought someone was also Medayik and Tosos and the Rush. Let's just see. Yeah, the Gra. Quotes Tosos and the Rashba, right? Tosos, the Rashba, and the Gra to the Bi'ur Halacha say many Rishonim disagree with this. There is no such trick. Bi'ur Halacha, b'shem Gra, b'shem Tosos, the Rashba disagree. They say this whole thing doesn't work. Even if you're careful about all these 100 conditions, nope, there's no such rule as ID Tard Miflo Bali. Everything that comes out will go back in right away, no matter what. That's not a good Eitzah. That's not a good Eitzah. They disagree. Okay, does anyone disagree with the Heter of Kodem Shal Chamishas? So here is a big Lundish challenge. Does anyone disagree with the Heter of Kodem Shal Chamishas?
First of all, if you think that Chametz isn't
Hetera, and why do you think Chametz isn't Hetera, Bala? Because we Paskin. Sorry, good lashon. Remember we did about chlokes of the chlokes Yisura Bala or Atira Bala, and we passed Yisura Bala? So if it's Yisura Bala, then it's not for not Yisura. That's the svar that based Bi'ur Halacha b'shem Brit Chadash and Gra. It's interesting. Some of the other Achronim point out, there are no Rishonim who explicitly disagree with this, and they... Okay, this is a big mystery. One second. It's a big mystery. The mystery is that What's the mystery here? Let's make this star triangle blue. There's a machlokes, hetera bola, about chametz, versus isura bola. And then you could ask, is it not bar not de hetera, or is it not bar not de isura? How do the poskin paskin in sif dalet? How do we paskin, hetera bola or isura bola?
Sure.
We paskin isura bola. In Tufnim Beis, how did all the poskim through the 17th century paskim? Not for not to tear.
Right.
All of a sudden comes the Grun the Pri Chadash and say, that makes no sense! The Machaber just, he sews himself, it makes no sense, it's ridiculous! Can't be! The Machaber just made a mistake, we paskim not for not to Isura. They say, it is not bar not de isura. That takes away the easiest heter, right? Not bar not de isura. That's not bar not de isura. Okay. The now, and they point out of the machaber. Doesn't the machaber have the right to say it's isura bala yet not bar not de tera? And they say no. The machaber made a mistake. The problem is that the Aruch Hashulchan and others point out tons of rishonim say explicitly Isura Bala and not Bar Not De Tera. It's not the Machaber shtick. It's not like the Machaber had a wrong hakra. He forgot from Toftan Aleph, Toftan Beis what side he was on. There are Rush and many Rishonim are Mefurish, the same stira as the Machaber, which proves it's not a stira. It's a lumdus. Okay, now the only challenge is, what's the lumdus explanation of why it's Isura Bala, yet not Bar Not De Tera? And due to the lateness of the year, of the hour in the year, I'm not, well, okay. I could say, because it's our last year and it's almost 5 o'clock, I'm not going to answer that Lundish conundrum. Because obviously, I don't even lean up psak. Obviously, the Machaber is a valid shita because tons of Rishonim say Mefurish that way. Right? As a matter of fact, more Rishonim say that way than even hint at the Gra. Right. Okay, obviously, the Machaber is quote unquote right. What's the Lundus? So, I could say, because it's almost 5 o'clock, I'm not going to get into it. The real answer is because I don't have a great answer. I'm not going to get into it. If you want, look at the Aruch HaShulchan. He brings lots of proofs against the Gra, and then gives an answer, which is better than any answer I would come up with. But I'm still waiting for maybe someday I'll find an even better answer. Anyway, you can look at the Aruch HaShulchan if you want one answer, and I'm sure there are many answers floating around. I haven't seen a great answer that really gets you excited and makes you dance. Okay, so we'll leave that. Anyone who comes up with an answer to this that makes you dance, please let me know, anytime between now and Mea Vesra. Okay, but anyway, we see all of a sudden that Alpidin, now, how could you get, by the way, how could you bring a good proof for disagreeing with number four? The Ramah. The Ramah says during Pesach there's no good Eitzah. Why didn't he say number four applies during Pesach? Right? So,
would it be bad to make chametz water on Pesach?
No, why? Maybe, okay, whether it's during the Ramah or not, it's just interesting. The Ramah says you can't do it on Pesach because the first three Aterim don't apply. He didn't suggest using the fourth.
They don't say that enough or not, or not. The Yisroel is the same. Isn't that
no, we never said that. Chas v'shalom. Not only didn't we say that, but Chas v'shalom.
I thought so.
Okay. Not chas v'shalom that you thought so, but chas v'shalom that you should continue to think so. Okay, so we see already Alpidin, we thought there are four ways to solve the problem. Two of the ways are controversial. One of the ways not so practical with Chose Reneir. It seems to be that the best way to solve this problem is Eino Ben Yomo. If we continue a little, let's get to Minhag. Beis. Yesh li zahir, and I'm not going to get into Beis be'iyun, because I'm not going into anything be'iyun at this point. But I'm not getting into Beis be'iyun because this is a simon in this is a sif in simon sadihei sif gimel that we already discussed. Yesh zahir l'hagul kli basher kli chalav b'yachad elam ken echad me'ein ben yomo. Don't kasher milk and fleishik together if they're both ben yomo, because then According to Mechaber, you shouldn't do it. And according to the Ramah, if you remember from your day, it's even treif b'diavet. It becomes basr b'chalaf. But if one of them is not ben yomo, then it's not basr b'chalaf. Okay, we're not going to chaz the basr b'chalaf aspects here, but adds the Ramah. Kol shekein kli shel iser. For sure, don't kasher a treif kli if it's ben yomo, because it'll make everything treif, right? I mean, then you don't not burn out the etera. Al kein nagush lelahagel shom kli ben yomo. Says the Ramah, the minag is always wait till it's eino ben yomo. Shalom al Yisrael. It's the simplest solution. And the Mishnah Berurah points out, even Al-Pidin, that's a good idea. Because Al-Pidin, if you use Napranate Teira, that's controversial. If you use Aynitar Lemifla Lobali, that's controversial. If you use Bitl Bashishim, that becomes tricky with Chozer Benayr. So therefore, what's the Minhag? This is the timeline Al-Pidin. What is the Halakha Lemaisa Al-Pi-Minhag? Is that if possible, or there are two levels of minhag. Says the Ramah, just eino ben yomo, just use the second eitzah, and that's it. Forget all the other ones, it's not worth it. Which also alpidin, meaning alpiminog, that's the simplest one. Why? Because it covers bas v'chalav and treif, not only Pesach. So, A, what's the reason for the Ramah? There's a few reasons for the Ramah. Two reasons for the Ramah. A, because then you won't get confused even if it's treif for basar and chalav together. B, alpidin, the Mishnah Berurah adds, not the Ramah, that way you'll say the pre-chadash.
It's also by far the easiest for Balabatim.
By far the easiest for Balabatim, once you take into account that there's milk and meat and treif in the world and not only chametz.
Even if it was only chametz, it's still easier for Balabatim to measure 60
and... No, Kodesh HaChamishis is easier.
Before they hit clocks?
Yeah! Well, you can still do it before that day, you know what I mean? Do it before, you know, it's not that hard, right? Okay, the Ramah says Eino Ben Yomo, and the reason is, because of, to avoid confusion in Iser and Basar B'Chalav. The Mishnah Berurah adds, because of the Pre-Chadash and the Grah. Right? Don't rely on Shal Chamishas. And the other ones also are tricky. Shishim is very hard to calculate, especially with Chozer V'Neir. Right? And this one, even if it would work, is I wouldn't trust anyone to do it. Okay. However, here the Achronim come up with a crazy Chumer de Pesach. The Magen Avraham and the Taz and the Mishnah Berurah say, says the Magen Avraham, Taz, and the Mishnah Berurah say we're knowing for Pesach Kol HaChumros. Again, these are all lechatchila, meaning if you're stuck, you don't have to keep any of these minhagim. These are halacha lemaisa lechatchila heicha de'efshar. All the chumros. What does it mean? One, and also two, and also three. And also four, if you can. All the chumras. Why all the chumras? That's crazy. So it's not clear why we do all the chumras. You might say maybe you'll mess up one of them, you'll have the other one. The simple shot seems to be maybe we're choshesh that like aim of atlanish lechachila and aim dosin naparnat lechachila and aim, you know, and aim mishamshim ve'aim b'niyom lechachila. Maybe we're choshesh lechachila, you shouldn't rely on any of these. That's the minhag Ashkenaz, that lechatchila do all the chumras. What does it mean, all the chumras? If you can. Doesn't mean if you're stuck. A, do all your kashering before Shal Chamishas. B, do all your kashering of a kli that's not ben yomo. C, try to have water that's 60 times your kli if you can. Again, with Chozer V'Neir, that's impossible. But at least, I'll leave it to the Ravid. And D, try to do all these crazy things to the best you can. I've seen in the modern day halacha books, just they're very practical. They take like the first three more seriously and then say, right, and try the fourth also. But halacha maisa all the chumras. Again, at least the Ravid's version of three, right? Try to have shishim as much as you can. If you can, if something's so big, what can you do? You know? But like, let's say you have 100 quarts of water and you have two kalim that are one quart each. Don't put them both in at the same time. Put one in and then the other. Ein ben yomo, we try to be very makbid. Kodem Shal Chamishas, we're makbid. Just our lifestyle, we probably would not kasher so late. Well, I guess someone might, but try to avoid it. And we try to put it in and not leave it in too long and not kasher part of it twice unless we ignore the convenient way. This is if it's convenient. And not kasher kalim with different levels of bleas like kli rishon and kli sheni together and keep the water boiling and kasher the pot beforehand and kasher the pot afterwards. We try to do all the chumras. Again, some people take this maybe a little too seriously, but we should at least make a reasonable, convenient effort to do all the chumras. Okay, one last thing before we speed through the rest of the simon is how long do you have to leave it in for kashering? Remember I said it was a machlokas between the Rif and the other and the Tor and others? The Rif said until it's all finished the being kashered. The Tor says, nope, the minig is miyad, right away. You put it in, take it out right away. An important ha'ara from the Mishnah Berurah. Halacha l'maisa, Shar HaTzion Sivkat Gimel says, Pinei b'tor kasev denogi lachnish l'otziyam miyad. V'ayin b'tasha kasev miyad lav davka. Okay, v'prichadash b'yordeya hiskim l'diri sor v'kipshatim k'omak l'chachila tov l'hashos ma'at. How long does kashering need to be? I don't have any room, but pretend I wrote three sheets on the board. The Rif says a long time till it's done, which we have no idea how to measure. The Pshat of the Torah, the Prichadash says immediate, 1 second. The Taz says a little. And the Mishnah Berurah says, L'chachili, you should do a little. B'diavad, even 1 second is good enough. But L'chachili, you should hold it in the water a few seconds. Okay, so we're not kosher for the Rif. We don't even know what he meant until you're sure it got cleansed. We don't know what that is. L'chachili, we should put it miyad, but miyad not. You know, we should hold it a few seconds. But yeah, but as long as it was there for 1 millisecond, that's good enough.
And even the Rif probably was assuming, like, the right that you could do it over the other. Right? That for the bleos, like, we can't
yeah.
Either way.
Right, of course, part of the problem is that Arman and Rikilim don't really have so many bleos in the first place, so it's hard to have them. Yeah. You know, this is all, like, ritual for us.
Our Rif and Tor are the same.
Yes, correct. Okay, fair enough. Okay, now let's just, I'm not going to go through every detail, let's just run through the rest of the simon. Sif Gimel, lo yaniach kelim harbi l'sok klivi agilim yachad im nogin zevazet. You can't dump a lot of kelim in a basket and total them, and moggle them together. Why? Because then if they rest on each other, the water won't get in between them and the water won't touch them. The water has to touch them in Hagolah, otherwise how does it cleanse them? And therefore, you should only put a few in your basket and jiggle it a little to make sure that the water touches all of them. It's a concern in tefillah also. Did we discuss that? It's a concern in tefillah also that you should not put too many if they'll be too heavy, except that
Don't they say that it's not a concern? Even though, like somebody in the basis says, even though it's not a concern by tefillah, it is a concern here.
No, it's not a concern by tefillah of kadam hamayim. If kadam hamayim, we assume it's not a concern. Dalid imagil bitzva igalgal kli demlokin makmatzvat lo sol dikulamaya. If you can use tongs, obviously you can't put it with bare hands. So you can either do your basket or tongs. If you use tongs, you have to rotate the kli in the tongs. Why? Because where the tongs are holding the kli, the water can't get to. So you have to rotate it so that the part that the tongs were touching is now open to the water. Says the Mishnah Berurah quoting the Taz, to do all the chumras, it's better to not use tongs, because then if the tongs cover 2% and then you rotate, now 96% of the kli has been in for twice as long as it needs to be, and therefore that's like leaving something in longer than it needs to be, and therefore it's better to use a basket. Okay, but again, this is all like if you can be machlokes. Hey, right. Eimagil mechami tveria. You can't use hot spring water. Afilu kelim shidim kli sheni. Even things that we're using a kli sheni. Things she'ena told to or kabolo kach polto. Again, I don't understand the science behind this, but this is the psak that. Ma bolo, they told us, or a polto, they told us, or. If it was heated in a different way, that's considered different. If it absorbed the water heated on a fire, you have to kasher with water heated on a fire, not water from hot springs. Water from hot springs is even less than cliche-y. It doesn't work. Miyu ad draman, nishtamish bo rak mitveria magilin behen. Okay, if you only used it with chamitveria, kabolo kach polto. The post can say there are two things nowadays that are the equivalent of this. The post can write, if you use something with water heated by a fire, you can't kasher it with water heated by a microwave. You can kasher a microwave with water heated by a microwave, because that's kabbalah kach polto. But you can't kasher regular things with water heated in a microwave, because that's not from a fire. And likewise a dud shemesh. You can't kasher with water from the dud shemesh, because that's not heated by a fire. And anything used with water heated by a fire has to be kashered with water from a fire. Okay, so that excludes hot springs, Dut Shemesh, and microwave. However, water heated in an electric urn counts as a fire. And you can use that for kashering the poskim, right? Okay, continuing. He brings a big machlokas. Okay, this is based on two ways. The Gemara in Zvachim Tzadik Vav and Beis says, kachim, you need water. But truma, you can use wine. Remember, it also said kachim, you need to kasher the whole kli and truma mixes kli. There's a machlokas, which is, how about regular treif? Where does that fit? Same exact machlokas Rishonim here. So there's a big machlokas Rishonim, whether you can use other liquids. Okay, says the Rama, how do we paskin? Can you use other liquids? He says, ve'emagil mishum mashke rak b'mayim. You can't use l'chachila, you cannot use other liquids. Davka water, v'yibidiyeved, v'hanigil b'chol mashke, v'yibidiyeved, we rely on other liquids. Imagil, then he adds, imagil har b'kil b'yora etchim yoro, please, akil naso mayim katsir, ein l'hagil ovos or mayim. If you do so much hagala that the water starts to look like gravy, then you can't do more hagala. The Mishnah Berurah says, not because it becomes another liquid, but because then the water used up all its power. Okay, that doesn't happen nowadays because our kelim don't have that much bleos. But this is a big question in industrial kashrus. At home, of course, kasher with water. Sometimes in industrial kashrus, like you want to know, can you kasher with other liquids? Like maybe they ran through them as part of their normal processing. Can you rely on them for kashering? Or maybe for some reason they can't use water, like chocolate, etc. You know, there's a big diunim. If you want to look in the Rav Moshe, there's a big Igros Moshe in Chelek Aleph, Simon Samech. That's Chelek 1, Simon 60, and Chelek 2, Simon 41. Rav Moshe paskins that, b'shas adchak, you can kasher with other water-based liquids, like milk and wine and juice, but not with oil-based liquids, because those aren't even really considered similar to water. That's Rav Moshe's psak. Everyone has their own opinion. But this is a big machlokas in the poskim nowadays. Some poskim say, b'shas adchak, you can kasher with fats and oils. And Rav Moshe says you can't. He says the Rambam is only makel b'di'evet with water-based liquids. Okay, but halacha l'maisa, for sure l'chachil use water. For sure b'shas adchak b'di'evet you can use water-based liquids. Oil-based liquids and liquefied fats are very controversial. Rav Moshe's machmir. Most kashrus agencies are machmir. Vav. Kli gadol she'en yoch lachniso. This is a mefurish gemara. I'm not going to go through the Rishonim here. I will just mention I'm sorry. I should have mentioned earlier. When we do all the chumras, that also means we kasher the kashering pot beforehand and afterwards. What does that mean? If it's a chametz, the kashering pot, we kasher it beforehand. If it's a Pesach, the pot, then it's already. And if we want to use it for Pesach afterwards, we kasher it afterwards. Not only that, the Mishnah Berurah says the minig is, even if you do iri and you pour to kasher, you kasher the thing you poured from afterwards. Even when we pass the time, it doesn't really go upstream. Okay, that's all chomer de Pesach. That's all chomer de Pesach, and that's halacha l'maisa. Again, none of this is ma'akev. This is all chomeres l'chachiva. But if I want to kasher everything in a big pot, but when I kasher for Pesach, I kasher everything in my big kumkum, I kasher the kumkum first. And if I'm using my Pesach kumkum, I kasher the kumkum afterwards.
Even though the kumkum is really not chametz taken.
It's a good question. I probably could be makel, but it's so easy to kasher that makel. Okay. Kli gadol shen yoch lachniso tov kli achar machmas gadol. Here's the problem. What if you have your biggest pot and you can't fit in another pot? How do you kasher it? Easy. Fill it up with water and boil it. But how do you kasher the rim? Like, it won't go over on the rim. So how do you get the rim? So the answer is, one etza is, osa safal piv betit kedei sheyismali heitev yagyu amayim besfaso umalo mayim marticho. One etza is, let's see, okay. Anyone see a square? Here. What do I do if, I'm just taking a side view. If here's my pot, what do I build? The Gemara says, if you're kashering a treif pot, just build it out of dough. That doesn't help your kashering chametzik pot. You have to build it out of mud. I build something that goes up like this. So I can fill in the water a little higher, and the water will cover the rim. It doesn't have to cover the whole outside, just the rim. It just has to go all the way up. But how does it go above the rim? I build like another rim with diagonal slant outside, and then I fill it with water. Oh, I should have saved glue for the water. Here's my pot. Here's my gedanfa, my rim. And then I can fill it with water up to here, and the water will go over the rim. And that's how I kasher the rim. That's one etza. What's a second etza? Or I fill it up to the top and boil it, and then I throw in a white hot stone or a torch and make it overflow. What's the point? If I make it overflow, it'll go over the rim. The problem is if I just take a stam object and make it overflow, I'm cooling off the water. Whenever you put a cold object in water, it cools it off. How do I not cool off the water? I have to put in something hot like a hot rock. The modern post can also say, if you don't want to use a hot rock, you could just take a small pot, put it on your stove and get that hot, and then put the smaller pot in it and make it overflow. You just put something hot to make it overflow. Those are two eitzes. The Agolas Kalin quotes a third eitzah, which I've seen in some of the modern day books. Sprinkle a little baking soda will make it overflow as well. That's another possible eitzah. Okay, so you have to make it overflow. I'm not getting to the lumdus, but the Shemurah Paskins like the Taz here, that when you're doing the chumrah of kashering the pot before you the kashering pot before you kasher, you don't have to make it overflow.
Baking soda process doesn't cool it down though?
Yeah, so that's, I've seen some people question that. But I mean, it doesn't actually have bulk to cool it down, right? You know, something cools down based on mass. Meaning does it use like, it turns like something into energy?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
The expansion of the water should cause the water to cool down rapidly.
All right, so fine. So let's use the first two. It says either build that rim, which I've never seen anyone do, or put a hot rock or a piece of metal in it. Which, it's not so hard to find a hot piece of metal. Just like put another pot on the next burner.
With the invention of electric kumkums, it's so easy now to pour in mine with hot at the same time. It's still boiling.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. No one suggests pouring in boiling water from your kumkum.
Because it's colder water.
I haven't seen anyone mention it, although it does seem logical, because usually it gets cold because it lands someplace cold. But if it lands someplace hot, it should break even. I haven't seen them suggest, I haven't seen that in any of the post-kim, but it does sound logical. Sorry, Ian. I'll point out, when you're doing the chumrah of kashering the kashering pot beforehand, only beforehand, the Mishmur says you don't have to worry about the rim. Why? Because mimanashach, if the water goes over the rim, it kashers it. If the water doesn't go over the rim, then who cares if the rim is kosher, because the water doesn't touch there. Okay, there's a lot to unpack there, but we'll leave it for now. One very, very important chumrah, though, that Mishmur quotes from, we're going to run the Taz. This assumes that as long as you boil water inside and get the rim, the water doesn't have to touch the whole outside. It says, that's Kabbalah Kachpolta. You cook on the inside, so it's enough to kasher the inside. But if you have a ladle where you actually use it by sticking it in the outside, then you can't just boil up the inside. Like, if you would be weird and have a pot that you use to scoop out of other pots, then you couldn't kasher it by only koshering the inside of the rim. You'd have to put it in another pot because Kabbalah Kachpolta. And then it's a big machlokas. What if once a drop landed on the outside of a pot? We saw Pesach Tshuva suggesting you also have to like kasher the outside, and the Chazon Ish, and that's the minhag, says no. If once a drop lands on the outside, then kashering the inside is good enough. But if you mamish use it as a ladle to scoop, then you have to kasher it by scooping it inside a pot of boiling water. Zayin, noagin lishtov a kli b'mayim tar machar agol miyad. The minhag is to wash a kli with cold water right after we kasher it. What's the reason for that minhag? Well, one reason makes a lot of sense. If you're taking this fourth derech and doing all the chumras, then it's to make sure that it doesn't still have hot water on it that's going to put the bliya back inside. Right? When you take it out, a few drops of water come with it that are chametz thick, they'll put the bliya back in. So wash it off right away. The Mechaber doesn't hold for all the chumras. The Mechaber, it's not clear why. He thinks it's just a minhag. It's not clear why the Mechaber, who doesn't think you should do all the chumras, Davka picks this chumra to always wash it with cold water afterwards. It might be because there's some Rishonim or Medayikin in the Gemara. The Gemara says, by kachini shtifa yeterta, an extra rinse in cold water. Rashi says, even though Rashi's the one who says you have to rinse it, he says, it means besides the hot water, you have to rinse it. You could say that means instead of one rinse, you have two rinses by kachim. Lemaisa, the minhag is like this mechaber, whatever the reason is, alpi minhag, to wash it in cold water afterwards. That is our minhag al hayom hazeh. As long as you can wash it in cold water afterwards. Let's say you're pulling a ra'ah and doing Haggalah on glass for some reason, which would be, I don't think we would ever do, then obviously you couldn't wash it with cold water afterwards because then it will shatter. But assuming it's something that could withstand, like metals, withstand the transition from hot water to cold water, then we keep this minhag and we kosher it with cold water. We rinse it off with cold water afterwards. Whenever I kosher for Pesach, you know, I just take everything straight after koshering and put it under the cold water tap. And and rinse it off. And that's the minigolam. None of this is ma'akev. Again, if someone doesn't know any of these, their kishim still kosher from Pesach. These are all menhagim, chumras, lechatchila.
I always thought the basic shot is that it's a safety thing.
Yeah, but in Mechaber's time, they didn't have safety yet. So, I don't know. I'm not convinced. Okay, mine died. So, it's a good thing we had that one. Okay.